Welcome to Word of Hope Ministries. Bible teacher Perry Stelter has been in ministry for over 10 years with Indigenous and non-Indigenous people seeking biblical reconciliation. His passion is making the Bible come alive. As Perry's wife, I, Angie, have seen God set the direction for this ministry since day one. Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Now here's Bible teacher Perry Stelter.
Hello everyone, I hope you're having a wonderful day today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin our message today. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for all the listeners. I pray that you would meet us all with regards to where we're at, things we're struggling with, things we're wrestling with, but help us to also celebrate in the things that you have done for us. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, my brothers and sisters, today's message is coming from the Gospel of Matthew. Today we are taking a look at Matthew chapter 8, the first four verses, and it's on the topic of healing. When I think of healing in the Bible, whenever someone was completely healed, you'll see that one minute the person was sick and the very next minute they were healed. When I think of healing within the traditional belief system of Indigenous people, the color green represents healing. When I reflect on what I've witnessed in my life and heard about in my life during my 53 years on this earth, I've heard about people that have been healed, and I also know of people that were restored, but then years later, they still died of that same disease that they were restored from years before. Some people say if you have enough faith, you'll be healed. Some people believe healing does happen, but it's only on occasional experiences. Personally, I believe that people can be completely healed today, but it doesn't happen all the time. And I don't think it depends solely on our faith, whether it's strong enough. It's a combination of our faith and if it's God's will. So let's go to scripture and see what we can all learn today. Matthew 8 verses 1 to 4 says, "Large crowds followed Jesus as he came down the mountainside. Suddenly a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. 'Lord,' the man said, 'if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean.'" As we're starting this section in Matthew chapter 8, as scholars have reminded me, the Sermon on the Mount has just ended. And one of the ways we know that is when we take a look at the first verse. It says that large crowds followed Jesus as he came down the mountainside. And as we have learned previously, we know the Sermon on the Mount took place on the Mount of Olives. Scholars also point out that the reader is struck immediately by the sudden appearance of a leper, one who epitomizes physical and ritual uncleanness. Lepers were ostracized from society and lived in colonies. They still exist in many parts of the world today, but the closest counterparts with which most people are familiar with are AIDS victims. Another scholar says, "The lepers reveal an astonishing confidence in Jesus' power when he says, 'You can,' in light of Jewish belief that cures of lepers were as difficult as resurrections from the dead were." And so both of these are crucial in all Christian prayers for healing. I know, my brothers and sisters, that all of you come from a variety of different backgrounds, and I know a lot of you have different views on healing. Looking still at verses 1 to 2, "Large crowds followed Jesus as he came down the mountainside. Suddenly, a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him." Scholars say that the man knelt before Jesus is an acknowledgement of the power and authority of Jesus, since one normally knelt before gods and kings of empires and of nations. And as one commentator observes, in the Old Testament, the expression "come and kneel down" often refers to a ritual form of religious adoration. Both Matthew and Mark indicate that the man knelt before Jesus, though they each use a different term. Luke 5:12 states that the man fell on his face. It may be translated here as knelt down in front of him to show honor, or knelt down in great respect in front of him. When we see the man with leprosy kneeling before the Lord, which is a sign of respect towards Jesus, we also see him using the words, "If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean." So here we see two important aspects that are part of coming to Jesus and asking for healing. We need to come to him in respect for who he is, the Son of God. And we have to come to him knowing that he is sovereign over all creation. And it's up to him and the Heavenly Father's sovereignty whether he does it or not. When the leper says, "You can heal me and make me clean," this points to the ceremonially uncleanness of his condition according to the Jewish belief system and based on Old Testament law that came from Moses. And so Mark chapter 1 verses 40 to 44 and Luke 5 12 to 15 have the same story of this man with leprosy. But let's look a little more closely at the issue of leprosy and being unclean. Scholars say that this leper does not presume to dictate Jesus' agenda, but appeals to him as one bearing God's healing purity. The line between medical and spiritual impurity was often blurred because of the uncertainty of a diagnosis. All those with leprosy were required to be examined by the priest, who after examination might pronounce the person clean or unclean, according to Leviticus 13:2. If a person was found to be leprous, the diseased individual was to be isolated from the rest of the community and was required to wear torn clothes, cover the lower part of his or her face, and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." And we see this being described in Leviticus 13 verses 45 to 46 and Numbers chapter 5 verses 2 to 4.
So I wait for you.
Matthew 8:3. Jesus reached out and touched him. "I am willing," he said. "Be healed." And instantly the leprosy disappeared. Here in verse 3, we see Jesus' immediate response to the man's request. He says, "I am willing, therefore be healed." And the word "healed" in the New Living Translation has an exclamation mark at the end. Scholars say the source of healing of this leper is in Jesus, who only has to will to effect an immediate cure. As he reaches out to touch the leper, Jesus does not violate the Old Testament purity laws, for instead of becoming unclean himself, he cleanses the leper with his healing hand and spiritual purity by commanding the leper to perform the prescribed ritual of presenting himself to the priest. Jesus fulfills the law required of lepers for re-entry into society. And we see this being described in Leviticus chapter 14. I had a good friend of mine who's been a strong believer in Jesus that whenever he reads scripture and sees people being healed, he mentioned that one minute they were sick and the next they were healed. It wasn't a gradual process that took place over days or weeks or months. And so this is where I think it can cause confusion over being completely healed. I think for some this is a hard truth to swallow, especially if you are sick yourself right now and are seeking a healing. But I know from my life and seeing people around me that are sick that Jesus many times will have mercy and grace on that person and on the family and restore that person for a season or give them extra strength for a season. But I think that is different than what we see in scripture here. Here we have faith and the sovereignty of God the Father giving permission for this healing. And as we'll quickly see, it was for the purpose of giving public testimony to the power of Jesus. Matthew 8:4-5 says, "Then Jesus said to him, 'Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed.'" These are the words of Jesus here in verses 4 that we're reading, 4 and 5. So here we have Jesus giving some instructions after he healed him. Because Jesus was Jewish, he sent him to the priest to be officially classified as clean. Jesus also told him to take an offering to fulfill the Old Testament law of being made clean. Then he added the fact that this was a public testimony of being healed and cleansed. Scholars say, "But the leper is instructed, 'See that you don't tell anyone.'" A regular aspect of Jesus' ministry was to demand secrecy about his identity and activity, which is especially emphasized in Mark's gospel, but also in Matthew. Jesus' desire for silence is not some theme contrived by the gospel writers to explain the non-messianic tradition they received, but is a theme that characterizes Jesus' historical mission. He carefully avoids stirring up in the crowds a misunderstanding of his messianic identity. Although miracles will attest to the authenticity of his gospel message about the arrival of the kingdom of heaven, Jesus does not want crowds clamoring for the miracles alone. They may easily misunderstand his message to mean that he has come to effect only physical healing or to bring national and military liberation. Jesus will guide his disciples and the crowds to understand that his primary mission is to bring forgiveness of sins, which brings true cleansing. Amen. Amen.
Lately, I've been thinking about you. Lately, I've been dreaming of you. Lately, I can't get you out of my mind. until I sense a smile upon your great and lovely face, until I know your glories in this place. Glories in this place.
This last verse in our passage today points to Leviticus 14, verses 1 to 9, which says, "The Lord said to Moses, these are the regulations for any diseased person at the time of their ceremonial cleansing, when they are brought to the priest. The priest is to go outside the camp and examine him. If they have been healed of their defiling skin disease, the priest shall order that two live clean birds and some cedar wood, scarlet yarn, and hyssop be brought to be cleansed." So there are more specific instructions that go with this Old Testament cleansing in Leviticus that was based on the law of Moses, but it's also important to point out that Jesus came to fulfill the Old Testament law and requirements. So the forgiveness of sins in a person's life is where the true cleansing, where the true healing came about. So if we ever find ourselves in a situation where Jesus does heal us completely, we need to see it as a public testimony to the power of Jesus' love. As we're looking to summarize this message, this story of this healing, this story of a man being healed of leprosy, forces us to look at the ministry of Jesus. Although miracles will attest the authenticity of his gospel message about the arrival of the kingdom of heaven, Jesus doesn't want crowds clamoring for the miracles alone. They may easily misunderstand his message to mean that he has come to effect only physical healing or national and military liberation. As I mentioned before, he will guide his disciples and the crowds to understand his primary mission is to bring the forgiveness of sins. Matthew 9, 1-6 says, "Jesus climbed into a boat and went back across the lake to his own town. Some people brought to him a paralyzed man on a mat. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, 'Be encouraged, my child, your sins are forgiven.' But some of the teachers of religious law said to themselves, 'That's blasphemy. Does he think he's God?' Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, 'Why do you have such evil thoughts in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk?' So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And so here, again, we see it as a public testimony. Like I said at the beginning, when I think of healing in the Bible, whenever someone was completely healed, you'll see that one minute they were sick, and the very next minute they were completely healed. As we're looking to finally conclude this message and some application to take home, here are some points that you can think about as you're going through this week. Although Jesus performed complete healings, and we may want the same thing for ourselves or people we care for, his first concern for us is to receive the forgiveness of sins and to become a child of God. When a healing does take place, secondly, it requires a combination of our faith and if it's according to the sovereignty of the Heavenly Father, because Jesus never did anything outside of those parameters. Thirdly, when a healing takes place, it's meant to be a public testimony of what God has done through His Son Jesus Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Fourthly, because Jesus came to fulfill the Old Testament law, we no longer need to go before a priest or a pastor to confirm our cleansing because we don't follow these laws anymore. But after we become a child of God, we are to participate in the activities of the local church and become involved. So my prayer and hope is that we've learned something today or have been reminded of what we already knew to be true, and that this has encouraged us all in some way today. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for the listeners. I thank you for these stories in the gospel message about healing. And I look forward to when we take a look at another passage of scripture next time and continue to look at this topic of healing. Help us, Lord, as we navigate scripture and as we seek to apply it to our lives and we seek to know what is truth and what is not truth. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Word of Hope Ministries with Bible teacher Perry Stelter. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. For more information, go to wordofhopeministries.ca.